Appreciate the reading this morning that Jack made for us. From Psalm 145, and this lesson is based upon especially verses 10 through 13 as we consider this morning the kingdom of God. There are those that believe that they have established the kingdom of God here upon this earth. They believe that they are ruling over the kingdom of God for God. But when we look at the kingdom of God and the study of the concept of the kingdom of God, there are spiritual understandings that we need to have and not get confused with other wording, with other aspects of God and His rule and what He's done for each and every one of us. And I think that there has been some misunderstandings concerning that in the past. It has been said many times that when we see the word kingdom in Scripture, we can substitute the word church. I want to discuss whether or not that is so, make some points for your consideration in connection with this. Let me just say on the onset, and go back to when the church was established, and we have record of that in Acts, the second chapter. We're going to see an aspect of that, I believe, from the definition of kingdom. And the word kingdom means royalty. Abstractly, it is the rule, or concretely, the realm, whether literally or figuratively. On the day of Pentecost, when the first gospel sermon was preached, it was the rule of God that was being set down through Christ Jesus, that kingdom that came into effect, and the words of His rule that were expressed by the apostles that day. And you remember that He goes back, Peter does, as he is answering these people that hear the word of God proclaimed to them, and says that this is fulfilled prophecy from Joel 2:28-32. He comes down to verse 32, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And then he identifies how to call upon the name of the Lord. And what he's doing there is defining for them the rule, the right to rule of Christ as king over a kingdom, and the aspects of that kingdom and the laws that go along with it that come from Christ Jesus. And he makes at the end of that lesson an accusation against those that were there at Pentecost who cried out for the death of Christ 50 days before that. And he says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that that same Jesus whom you crucified is both Lord and Christ. And they heard that, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what must we do? The answer to that is from the rule of Christ, He being the King. And the answer came back, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And then we see after that, after the rule of law of the kingdom and the right to rule that Christ had, because He had told these men that beginning at Jerusalem, repentance and remission of sins would be taught in His name. And after those that responded to the rule, the call of the rule of the gospel of Christ Jesus, we see in verse 47 that the Lord then added them to the church. Keep that in mind as we go through this lesson. Kingdom has to do with rule. It also has to do with realm. And we're going to talk about that also. It has to do with royal power, kingship, dominion, rule. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. Psalm 145, verse 13. When we think about kingdom, is not to be confused with an actual kingdom, but rather the right or authority to rule over a kingdom. And Jesus, just before He went to the cross, told Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not of this world. And so the confusion sometimes gets to be with the thought of church and kingdom, not realizing the difference. And he says that the kingdom is not of this world. The rule comes from heaven. And the right to rule over the kingdom comes from heaven. Of royal power of Jesus as the triumphant Messiah or Christ. In Zechariah 6 and verse 13, yes, he shall build the temple of the Lord. He shall bear the glory. He shall sit and rule on his throne. He shall be a priest on his throne. And the council of peace shall be between them both. And so here he's talking about, of course, the right of Jesus to rule because he is kingdom. He is a king. And he has a kingdom, but it's not of this world. It is spiritual. Of the rule, power, and dignity conferred on Christians in the kingdom of the Messiah or the kingdom of Christ. Revelation 1 and verse 6. He has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Here, Jesus says through John in Revelation 1 and verse 6 that we are a kingdom of priests. That we are a kingdom of kings. Not in the sense, of course, of us having legislative authority, but upon the honor that has been bestowed upon us by God. So that we, as Jack pointed out to us very well in his lesson last Sunday in Romans 8 chapter, we are in the will. And God not only pronounces us as sons, as children of his, but also he has an inheritance that we want, and he grants that even though we were disobedient. And he grants that in equal proportion with the one that died for us, Christ Jesus, because we are joint heirs with him. And so that dignity is conferred upon those that are Christians. We are priests of God today. We don't walk around in special attire. But what we do is walk around in a special conduct of life. That directed by God. A kingdom, the territory subject to the king, to the rule of the king. And you think about that from Hebrews 1 and verse 8. But to the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of your kingdom. It is all encompassing as far as the existence of this life is concerned. That the territory of the kingdom is over all. And we'll note that as we go through this study. It's used in the New Testament to refer to the reign of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15 verses 24 and 25, Paul says, then comes the end. When he delivers the kingdom to God, the Father. When he puts an end to all rule and all authority, he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. Christ now is king. We are in his kingdom. And we are subjects in that kingdom. With the differing definitions of the word kingdom that we see that is given to us, we need to understand kingdom concerning its mention in Scripture by context. If we do that, I think that we'll come to an understanding of what the kingdom is. First of all, the kingdom is present. It's here upon the earth today. Your kingdom is everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. This was written prior to the coming of Christ. Well, was there a kingdom at that time? Again, we don't think about, by the words that we have defined or used to define the word kingdom here, we don't think about a physical kingdom. But God has always had rule. God's kingdom has been since the very beginning of time, the aspect of rule over every man. How did it start out? You go back to the garden. Be fruitful and multiply. Care and tend for the garden. Do not eat of the tree in the midst of the garden. That was the rule of the king at that time in his kingdom. As it continued on, God did not give up rule and gave, of course, instruction to all concerning him, but there were those that refused him. And we see in Genesis the 6th chapter, and because of that, God determined then to cleanse the earth of humankind, except that Noah found favor with God. But all were under his rule. And then as time went on, he set up another rule, which was part of his kingdom, and that was the Mosaic Law. It was given only to the Jews in connection with the coming of the Christ, the coming of the Messiah. And then after that, there is the rule that we are living under today in the kingdom of Christ Jesus as it relates back to him, this new covenant that we are under today. And we are in the kingdom of Christ Jesus, and He is King. It is present because it always has been and always will be. That there has been rule from deity. The idea of the kingdom present and everlasting is in the word is, independent of dispensational time. To use the word church in place of kingdom would not make sense. That called out body is also spiritual. But the called out body are directed by the rule of God in His kingdom. When we think about this, kingdom future, as was given by prophecy in Isaiah. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon His shoulder, and His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government, and that means rule, and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over His kingdom, to order it and to establish it with the justice, judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. When we think about this, Jesus had prayed to the Father, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He's not talking about that which comes about after time. He was talking about that which came through Him and because of Him. The spiritual kingdom that we are in. With the view of the kingship of Christ having His rule and domain, prophetically the rule of Christ in His kingdom in Isaiah and is in reference to Jesus, who was promised that He would have the right to rule and government justice would be come forth from Him. But we also see that the kingdom is mentioned as eternal. Daniel 4 and verse 3. How great are His signs, how mighty His wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and His dominion is from generation to generation. Even after time is no more, we are still in the realm of the kingdom of the rule of God. And that will always be as time then is gone, and it will always be for all eternity. Until its completion, when all things will then be turned back as it was before. But we still continue in the rule of God. I want you to think about this. Consider kingdom as rule, domain, right to rule. John the Baptizer and Jesus preached this lesson. Matthew 3 verses 1 through 3. In those days John the Baptizer came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. The Lord that is mentioned there in prophecy is talking about the coming of the kingdom in Christ Jesus. In Matthew 4, verses 12 through 17, it was the very same thing that Jesus taught after John's death. It was taught until the coming of the kingdom had taken place. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The rule through Christ Jesus. The people spoken to in this passage are Jews, part of the church, congregation of God's elect under the rule of God through the Mosaic law. The rule that would come would not be of Moses, but of Christ the King. We look back to John 1 and verse 17. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And the rule of Christ has to do with grace and truth. Again, John 18, 36 and 37, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight physically. But my kingdom is not of this world. I have come as a king into the world, he answered. Pilate in verse 37, You say rightly, I am king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And that is the words of the kingdom, of the rule that would be given through Christ Jesus. Note also, the words that were spoken to the disciples of Christ that would become His apostles. In Luke 22, verses 28 through 30. But you are those who have continued with me in my trials, and I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on the thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. He's not telling them, I've built each of you a church, each of you a separate kingdom, but what he's talking about here is that which would come through them, the rule of Christ Jesus. Consider Matthew 19, verse 28. Jesus said to them, it is the same group of men that would become his apostles. Assuredly, I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you have followed me, will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And what he means is, by the word that you receive by inspiration, it will be words of judgment that comes forth from God, but is going to be through you, through those men that were inspired. It's not such an odd concept for us to understand. Think about what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? Well, how do we judge the world? Well, by our conduct. We show what is approved by God to those that are of the world. We show what is approved to God to those that are our brethren, by our proper conduct in Christ Jesus. And so we understand that we have been given a part of this judgment also in the kingdom, in the rule of God, not by inspiration today, but rather by displaying the proper conduct before God. When we look at Matthew 5 and verse 5, Jesus also said in the Beatitudes, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. What does he mean by that, they shall inherit the earth? The earth, the land, Canaan as the type of all blessings, when we look back in Scripture, what was it called? It was called the land that flowed with milk and honey. It was the promised land. And in that type, there is a reference. But the reference is not to that which is physical. It is the heavenly land, especially that which is inherited by those that are under the rule of the kingdom of God. The reference to the Messiah's kingdom, of which the land of Canaan was a type. We are looking for a land that flows with milk and honey also, but it's not going to be here upon this earth. It is going to be a place of great rest, great comfort, great blessing, great glory that is in heaven. But we see there that things have been given unto man within the rule of the kingdom of the king himself. The nature of the kingdom is spiritual. In Romans 14, verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and joy and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. When we come here today, this building is not the kingdom. And those that sit in the pews this morning are not all of the citizens of the kingdom. There are others also. It is those that abide by the rule of the king that is under his authority within his domain that he has established for his kingdom. And as we look at this, we understand that it's not that which is physical. We see in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 20, for the kingdom of God is not in word but in power. And what he means by that is not a proclamation that is made by man, but rather it is the proclamation of God brought forth by power and authority from the king himself, so that we can be in his domain, in under his rule, and in his kingdom. Luke 17, verse 20 and 21. Now when he had was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he said to them, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. Nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. Substitute the rule of God there. We look at one another and we see human beings. And when we look back at this in a broader view, there were times in history where people would see an army of a kingdom coming toward them. And with great power, that kingdom would overcome another kingdom, and they could say, that is a kingdom that has now come. But it's not with observation, because it is spiritual concerning Christ and his kingdom. Because the rule of God is in each and every one of us. We don't go to a different place on earth. We stay right where we are. But we conduct ourselves not of the world, even though we are in the world. We conduct ourselves of Christ in the world by his rule, by his kingdom. It's within us. It is within us. A king has a kingdom. We understand that. 1 Timothy 6, verses 12 through 16. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, to which you are also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God who lives, who gives life to all, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate. And that good confession was is that he was king. That you keep this commandment without spot, blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing, which he will manifest in his own time, who is blessed and the only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. We understand that the king has a kingdom, and the kingdom is ruled over by the king. And this is what is being presented by Paul here in 1 Timothy 6. And we understand also that all people are under the rule and domain of Christ Jesus. There are citizens of the kingdom. We look in Ephesians 2, verse 19 and 20. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens and saints and members of the household of God, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Christians do not become Christians by following men's doctrine. Christians become Christians by following the rule of Christ Jesus and making them then fellow citizens of the kingdom when we follow the rule of Christ Jesus. Not only citizens, but also saints and of the household of God. We are all people citizens of the kingdom is a question we need to ask. There are those that are not citizens, but are aliens and separate and apart from the kingdom of God as far as the blessings that are bestowed upon them. Ephesians 2, 11 through 13. Therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, you were called uncircumcision by that called circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off are been brought near by the blood of Christ. Not by a man's rule, not by a man's doctrine, not by men's kingdoms, are we brought into citizenship, no longer to be aliens, but rather through the shed blood of Christ Jesus. Colossians 1 and verse 21, and you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he hath reconciled, the reconciliation being brought back to Christ, allowing us then to be in his kingdom. Think about the kingdom of Christ as rule and see if it fits with church. Think about it this way. Kingdom refers to the extent, territory of God, Christ being the king. Matthew 5 and verse 19, whosoever therefore shall break one of the least of commandments and shall teach men so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Who or what is in the kingdom? Remember, kingdom referring to the rule and domain of Christ Jesus. Well, individual Christians are because they're citizens. Colossians 1 and verse 13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness, conveyed us into the kingdom and to the rule of his dear Son. When we are outside of the rule of Christ, we're in darkness. And that's what Paul is saying here. When we are in Christ, we have been transferred or been delivered into then the kingdom of light in Christ Jesus. Individuals are Christians and they are citizens of the kingdom. Not only that, collectively together, the church are in or under the rule of the kingdom. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 24, then the end comes when he delivers the kingdom to God, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and all power that is here upon this earth, but rather the true rule is in Christ Jesus, and collectively we are part of that kingdom together. That is, the church is in the kingdom, the church is not the kingdom. The church is under the rule of Christ, it is not the rule of Christ. We also see, collectively, Christians and citizens are all together worldwide, the churches of Christ are under the rule, the kingdom of Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ, called to be saints with all who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both theirs and ours. Those are the ones that are citizens of the kingdom and under his rule. Consider this. In his kingdom, he rules. Rule is in reference to the right of ruling, as always in connection with law, law of the kingdom. Jesus said in Matthew 4 and verse 23, that as he went through all about Galilee, he was teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of diseases and all manner of sicknesses among the people. Who or what was in the rule of the kingdom at that time? He was preaching the message of the kingdom. Well, individual citizens. We see in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 2, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." That word is the rule of the kingdom that comes from Christ Jesus. And individually, we are to follow that. Collectively, we are to follow. As we see in Ephesians 3 and verse 10, we are to be a display of the wisdom of God in the collective sense. And this is not only those that are living, but those that are dead, that which is not seen by observation, but that which is spiritual in the kingdom of God, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church, or shown through the church, to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. Collectively also, when we look at the churches of Christ, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of Christ," or the churches of the saints. What keeps down the confusion? Well, it is the kingdom, the rule of Christ Jesus, his word. All also are under the rule of the kingdom of Christ. Everyone. Consider this with me. That is saints and sinners, believers and unbelievers. Think about this. Whenever John the Baptizer was alive, he told Herod, who was not a Jew, was not under the Mosaic law, that the marriage that he was in was not scriptural, was not right for him to have her. Well, was Herod under the rule of the kingdom of God? Yes, he was. By what? By the law of the kingdom of God, by the domain and territory of the kingdom of God. Think about it today, and it's not exactly working the way that it's supposed to be. But if we have someone in our country that is not a citizen of this country, and he cannot come in and say, "Look, I don't have to follow the rules of this country. I can do what I want to do. I'm going to drive on the left-hand side of the road. I don't care what your rules are. That is the rule of where I came from, and that's what I'm going to follow here." Can he do that? No. Neither can one who follows the law of the land but is not a citizen become a citizen. Think about that. We have somebody from a different country. They pull up to a stoplight, they see it, and they stop, and they say to themselves, "I followed now the rule of the land, so therefore I'm a citizen." Does that make them a citizen? No. And in the same way, there are those that are citizens, and there are those that are not, but all of us are under the rule, under the kingdom, under the domain of Christ Jesus of God. His church is in his kingdom over which he rules. The church is not the kingdom. The church is in his kingdom. We see that relationship, that called out. And here Paul says in Ephesians 5, 25 through 27, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it, that he might sanctify it, having cleansed it by the washing of water, by the word, that he might present the church to himself a glorious church, not having any spot or wrinkle, but that it should be holy and without blemish." Who or what is the church? Individuals that are true children of God, citizens of the kingdom. Ephesians 2, verses 19 through 22. "Now therefore you're no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with saints and members of the household of God, being built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets." But also collectively, Christians. We see in Ephesians 3, verse 14 and 15, "I bow the knees to the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named," under the rule of the kingdom of God. Collectively, churches of Christ. Romans 16, 16, "Greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you." They are in the kingdom. They are not the kingdom. Christ Jesus is king. He has a kingdom, a domain, and a right to rule. And the church, individually and collectively, and all churches, and those that are living and dead, are under his rule. Some thoughts and questions on this. We must understand God's word by context. We miss pertinent and spiritual points by not considering context. So each time we see the word kingdom in Scripture, it is not always referring to the church. Matter of fact, it's never referring to the church. It's referring to the rule of Christ Jesus, of which the church is under. The questions are you under the rule of Jesus? That was really the question on the day of Pentecost where we started this lesson. You have put to death the Messiah. What must we do? You must follow the rule of the kingdom. What is the rule of the kingdom? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins. Is there anything else to do after that? Yes, you worship the way that God has instructed you to worship. Acts 2 and verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in the fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in the prayers. And they continued to do what had been given to them by the rule of the king in following after him in order for them to retain their citizenship. Are you under the rule of Jesus? Are you a citizen of the kingdom this morning? Are you of the congregation of his called out? The church is not the kingdom. The church is in the kingdom and part of the kingdom. That is part of his realm and his domain. So I ask you this morning, as we look at this, can we understand these things alike so that we start to get the proper concept? You know, people see a building such as this and others that have steeples and so forth, and they say there's a church, when in fact, they see a building. And when they see a church, a physical building, well, they say those are inside, those are Christians. And in fact, they may not be citizens of the kingdom whatsoever. As a matter of fact, as we look at this building with the people that are in here, is God's determination. He knows those that are his. By our fruits, we can display whether or not we are children of God, be recognized as such. But just because we sit inside this building and we come to church on Sunday doesn't mean that we are Christians. What makes us Christians, what makes us citizens of the kingdom, is our spiritual worship continually before God. Just not on Sunday, but each and every day of the week. We look to the Lord and we do His will. These are concepts, I believe, that we really need to understand in order to be pleasing to Him. Do we understand them? If there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand in the center.